When I left the seminary in 61, I went on the Freedom Ride. This was my first time going into the state of Mississippi, late May, June 61. And, you know, it was a terrible experience to come through Birmingham and Montgomery. I never forget a group of us, seven blacks and three white students from the university, in colleges and universities in Nashville. After the core sponsor, Freedom Ride, of the Tart in Birmingham, a group of us left on May 17, 1961. Took a Greyhound bus, a regular bus, to Birmingham. And before we arrived in the city of Birmingham, the bus was stopped outside of the city, and a member of the Birmingham Police Department got on the bus and said, "Where are the Freedom Riders?" And no one said anything. And the bus, this member of the police department, literally took over the bus by asking for the tickets, and he looked at the tickets, and he saw we all had tickets from Nashville, making a stop in Birmingham, Montgomery, Jackson, and then to New Orleans. And he just literally identified us as being the Freedom Riders. He was really correct. And when we arrived at the Birmingham bus station, they took us off, place of unprotected custody, and Bill Conner and other members of the police department. They took us to the Birmingham City Jail. So on Wednesday, we stayed there Wednesday, and we went on a hunger strike. We refused to eat anything. Thursday, and Friday morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Bull Connor, other members of the Birmingham Police Department, and reporters from the Birmingham News or the Post area, I think, came up to the cell and said, "We're taking it back to the college campus in Nashville." But they took us to the Alabama-Tennessee state line, a little town called Ardmore, Alabama, Ardmore, Tennessee, and left us there. And we made a call back to Nashville. We spoke to Diane Nash and Jim Lawson there and told them what had happened. We sent cars to pick us up. And in the meantime, we tried to find a house or someone in the black community, and we did kind of thing for a black family to live. And stayed there until the car came to pick us up. And we went back to Birmingham, stayed at the bus station that Friday night, all night, and tried to get a bus to go from Birmingham to Montgomery. In the meantime, Attorney General Kennedy was negotiating with the Greyhound Authority, trying to get the bus moving. And all of the drivers from the Greyhound bus company refused to drive the bus. We went out several times Friday night at 8:30, 12 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning, Saturday morning. When we finally got a bus from Birmingham to Montgomery. And over the bus, there was a small plane, and every 15 miles, we would see a state trooper from the state of Alabama. It's only about 100 miles between Birmingham and Montgomery. And when we arrived, about 5 or 10 miles out, all signs of protection, the plane, the state trooper. And I have gone this way many, many times before, riding the bus between Troy to Montgomery, Montgomery, Birmingham, Birmingham, and Nashville to school for 4 years. And when we got near the station, it had this eerie feeling this way. It's been about 10:30 on the Saturday morning. Didn't see anything. And all at once, when the bus pulled up and we started out of the bus, angry mob, about 1,000 people came toward the bus. And they first started attacking the reporters and then they attacked us. And several buses was eaten and just left lying in the street. And it was one guy who was the I guess they call him the general for the Alabama, it's not called the general, and he was the chief officer for the Alabama State Trooper. That's not Lingo. Lingo came later. This guy, can't think his name, the Newsweek, the Time did a big story on him. He's literally saved the day, kept people from literally being killed, fired a gun to disperse the mob. We went from there to different homes in the city of Montgomery, and Dr. King and Reverend Abernathy happened to be out of the city speaking someplace, but they heard about what had happened. They came back to Montgomery and planned for a big mass meeting in Montgomery on that Sunday. It was in May 22nd, I think. Several hundred people from throughout the city came, and several national civil rights staff came into the city. We got into the church. The circuit judge, a judge named Walter B. Jones, had issued an order against interracial groups traveling in the state of Alabama. And they had an order issued for us saying we had violated the injunction and sat us with contempt of court. And at the same time, state officials were literally looking for us to serve the injunction. So all of the Freedom Riders went into the choir stand, and we was like the members of the choir. I had a patch on my head from the injury I received, and several people were left in the hospital that didn't make it to the church. That night, before the mass meeting started at 8 o'clock, the church was literally was filled. Amy Moore came to the church. This was the First Baptist Church that was passed by Reverend Abernathy. And in the meantime, Dr. King got on the telephone and called Bobby Kennedy and told him the atmosphere and the climate, and the mob was coming closer to the church, St. Bob. And then I believe President Kennedy federalized the national laws in Alabama. And we didn't, the only way we got away from the church that night, hundreds of people, not just the Freedom, were literally taken to their home in different parts of the community by the national guards and jeeps. Some of the people wanted to call the ride off. We had a series of meetings Monday and Tuesday, and finally on Tuesday we decided to continue the ride. And on Wednesday, and the following Wednesday,
why didn't you decide?
Well, we felt that it was important that the ride be continued, and we decided that it was important to travel through Alabama, through Selma, Highway 80, on into Mississippi. The Freedom Ride served not just the purpose of desegregating, dramatizing the fact that segregation still existed in the area of public transportation, but also to arouse the black community itself. And it's like taking the gospel of the civil rights movement into different parts of the South. And it was important that it go into a state like Mississippi. There had been very little activity there in terms of mass action. There had been some around Jackson State and Tugulu during the sit-in. At that time in Mississippi, you had a situation where we really didn't have in mind, but the Freedom Ride played a role in it. You had 450,000 black folks there, voting age, and only about 22,000 are registered to vote. And as a result of the Freedom Ride effort into Mississippi in 61, later SNCC people and CORE people went into the Delta area, particularly in the Southwest, in the McCone area, to try to organize people around the right to vote.
So then you went on?
We arrived in Jackson at the Trailway bus station there, and we were arrested and refused them to move on. Charged with disorderly conduct and disturbing the peace. When the city jail got too full, they transferred us to the Hinds County Jail. And from Hinds County Jail, we were transferred to Pardew. We arrived there, and one of the girls, the Sing Your Freedom song, said, "We have niggas here that were literally That's what the guy said. We had niggas here that would eat you up. Sing a freedom song. The moment we all started stepping off of the truck, out of the van truck, walking through the gate that lead to Mike's security, that's where we were placed, we had to walk right in, and you have to take off all your clothes. So all of us, 75 guys, black and white, because during that period you had students, professors, ministers coming in from all parts of the country to continue the freedom run. And we stood there for at least 2 hours without any clothes. And I just felt that it was an attempt to literally dehumanize you. Then they would take us in two blacks, two whites. The segregation started over again after we got inside of the jail. And to take a shower. And while you was taking a shower, there was a guard standing there with a gun pointing while you showering. And if you had a beard or a mustache or any hair, you had to shave your beard off, you had to shave your mustache off. And it was really eerie. It just really made you frightened. And after taking a shower into your place in the cell and giving a Mississippi undershirt and a pair of shorts,